This is as bad of a Green Bay Packers team as the Chicago Bears have faced in quite some time. But anytime number 12 is under center in green and gold, you never go into the matchup feeling like the Bears are going to pull off the big upset.
You are Locked On Bears, your daily Chicago Bears podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
This is Locked On Bears, and I'm your host, Lauren Cox. I'm here to bring you your daily, in-depth Chicago Bears news and analysis. You can follow me on Twitter at CoxSports1. You can follow the podcast on Twitter at Locked On Bears. You can like Locked On Bears on Facebook. Join the Locked On Bears Facebook group for even more Bears talk. And make sure you hit that subscribe button on the Locked On Bears YouTube channel to keep up with all of our video podcasts as well. Thanks for making the Locked On Bears podcast your first listen today, and hopefully every single day. Today's episode is brought to you by BetOnline. BetOnline has you covered this season with more props, odds, and lines than ever before. BetOnline, where the game starts. On the show today, we put together a game plan for what the Chicago Bears need to do in order to beat the Green Bay Packers. It serves as our little game preview here to see what it's going to take on a Green Bay Packers team. It's not very good. Certainly worse than many of the teams we're used to seeing coming out of Green Bay, but that doesn't make them anywhere close to an easy opponent or any kind of guaranteed win for the Chicago Bears. It's still a tall task in front of them. And I think we're looking at a shootout. Justin Fields returned to Chicago Bears practice at full capacity on Thursday. That seems to be lining up for him to return as your Bears starter for this key divisional game entering the bye week. And having Fields under center for the Bears really changes the dynamic quite a bit, not only for how the offense is run, but also just your confidence in the offense with him versus Trevor Siemian, although Trevor Siemian has been missing practice with that oblique injury. So your alternative and your next man up in this game might still be Nathan Peterman. Heaven forbid we see Nathan Peterman on the field against the Green Bay Packers. It's game over. But for now, it's not, so long as we see Justin Fields out there. And we know with the Bears defense struggling, the Bears are going to need to score some points. Fortunately, the Packers defense is also struggling mightily. It's a really bad Green Bay Packers defense. And so there's some real opportunities here for the Bears to score some points and get some offensive control in this game. The Packers defense allowed the Philadelphia Eagles to rush for over 350 yards. Jalen Hurts had over 100 yards. Their running backs were over 100 yards. They ran all over this Packers defense, and that's got to be a big part of this Bears game plan. We saw the Bears take that kind of approach even more conservative when the Bears and Packers played earlier this season. I think in that game, Justin Fields was 7 of 11 for 70 yards and an interception. But David Montgomery rushed for 122 yards and averaged 8 yards per carry. I'd be looking for something similar this week. I'm nervous, though, about Justin Fields as the ball carrier. These designed quarterback runs that have been such a big part of the Bears' high-scoring offense in recent weeks. But I'm nervous about him being tackled on those designed quarterback runs. I'm nervous about him being tackled on the undesigned quarterback runs. When the passing play breaks down and Fields gets out of the pocket, that's where he's his most dangerous. That's where we've seen him make these breakaway 60-yard touchdown runs that get you out of your seat. And you don't want to restrict those from him, but every time he gets tackled on one of those plays, we're going to be holding our breath. The question I have, though, is are those hits on quarterback runs any worse or bigger or more dangerous or more injury-prone than the hits he's going to take in the pocket, you know, on sacks, quarterback hits? The big difference being that the referees will protect you with flags a bit more when you are in the pocket or behind the line of scrimmage as a passer, as opposed to when you scramble and are more of just a regular ball carrier and rusher that doesn't get quite the same protection. Apparently, with Justin Fields, even when you slide and still take a late hit, the flags haven't been as quick to come out for him. So I just don't want to see Justin Fields get hit at all, ideally. Slide on every rushing play, run out of bounds on every rushing play, and throw the ball away anytime there's a player right in your face and there's a risk of potential sack. I know he has the ability to make guys miss. And so I don't want to say universally pressure equals throw it away every single time, but would really like to see a higher level of caution displayed in that regard, because I just don't want those injury risks. No matter what he's feeling in terms of pain entering the game, I just don't want to press it. At the same time, you'd like to see him just, as a result, like make quicker decisions as a passer. And he's been one that has wanted to wait for bigger plays to be there and not always fully trusting how open his receivers might be, because often the receivers aren't all that open. But we saw Trevor Siemian pass a little bit quicker, a little bit more decisively in this offense, and it can mask some of the offensive line issues. We also saw the real limitations to that Siemian style of quick passing and checkdowns, that Justin Fields can do a lot more than that, but still, take care of yourself. It's more important for me to see Justin Fields not get re-injured than to specifically outscore the Green Bay Packers and win this game. That's why I again come back to rely on the running game. Let David Montgomery take those hits. Let him shoulder the load. Get that ground game going. Run some play action off of that. Maybe you can get your deep shot there. You know, can you get a breakaway run or two from Montgomery or Fields or Darrington Evans or even Treston Ebner? Like, can you get a couple of big plays in there? Keep the scoring going steady, because I don't think you're going to be able to rely on your own defense to hold the Packers down too much on the scoreboard. We'll look at some of the things the Bears defense needs to be ready for and some of their options to try and slow down the Packers offense on Sunday next on Locked On Bears. The Locked On Bears podcast is brought to you by our friends at Prize Picks. Prize Picks is the better way to do daily fantasy football, because Prize Picks puts you in complete control. There's no competing against other people. It's just you versus the projections available. You pick 2 to 5 players, and if they'll score more or less than their Prize Picks projection, and you can win up to 10 times your money on any entry. Prize Picks has projections on any sport that you watch, not just Bears games, but all the professional sports, college sports, and some really obscure ones out there as well. It's super easy to enter. Literally takes 60 seconds or less. So download the Prize Picks app and go to prizepicks.com to sign up and play daily fantasy sports. First-time users can receive a 100% instant deposit match up to $100 with our promo code LOCKEDON. If you deposit $100, Prize Picks will give you $100. If you deposit $50, Prize Picks will give you $50. Just don't forget to enter that promo code LOCKEDON at sign up for an instant deposit match up to $100. As you can tell, I've got pretty low expectations for this Chicago Bears defense against the Green Bay Packers. I know Aaron Rodgers isn't playing up to MVP Aaron Rodgers caliber, but I've spent enough time watching Aaron Rodgers carve up much better Bears defenses than this, and we even saw back in week 2. He didn't have too much trouble throughout a lot of that game moving the ball and scoring against this Bears defense, and it has only gotten worse defensively. And I think the Packers offense seems to be finding somewhat of a groove now. Not playoff caliber, going to pull off this miracle run and, you know, all of a sudden unlock everything they've been trying to unlock all season, but his connections with his wide receivers seem to be settling in a little bit more. We're seeing Christian Watson, their second-round pick, really look like the type of physical freak athlete that they traded up for in the second round. And so I'm nervous again about how Aaron Rodgers is going to come out with his really quick release timing and precision. Because do you remember back in week two, they went after Kyler Gordon over and over and over again. And it wasn't like it was all these like super fancy route concepts or anything. Like it was just the quick slant beats him inside and the ball is out at the perfect timing to where it's right where the receiver is and he catches it and makes some plays after the catch, right? Or it's the out route where the ball is there exactly the moment it needs to. Or Kyler Gordon's just, you know, a step or two late. And that's all it takes when you have Rodgers firing on all cylinders. Maybe this isn't Rodgers firing on all cylinders, but you start looking at this Bears defense. First of all, Kyler Gordon might not play at all this week, missing practice with the concussion. And Jaquan Brisker might also not play again this week. So you could be without both of your second round picks again in the secondary. And all of a sudden, it becomes an all you can eat buffet for Aaron Rodgers of defensive backs that he can pick on in some of that same way. You know, obviously, Jalen Johnson is Jalen Johnson. That's sort of separate from the rest of this conversation. We know how good and talented he has been this season. But besides him, your Bears secondary is going to be some combination of Kendall Vildor and likely Jalen Jones as the other cornerback. Then if Kyler Gordon is again unable to go, you're already going to have DeAndre Houston Carson starting in place of Eddie Jackson. And then, you know, is it Elijah Hicks, the rookie seventh round pick, that's going to get the start then at safety after he filled in last week? Or the, you know, the Bears brought in a veteran on the practice squad that I guess they could promote, but for him to turn around and be a week, you know, a starter this quickly, Adrian Colbert, seems a little bit unlikely. So you may have a rookie seventh round pick and an undrafted rookie free agent cornerback then both starting or playing significant snaps in your Bears secondary. And Kendall Vildor has been struggling a bit again in recent weeks. So I would expect Aaron Rodgers to just throw at everyone not named Jalen Johnson. And there's not really a way to make up for that. You can't just scheme a coverage that's going to hide both safeties and maybe two cornerbacks, right? That's just not realistic, especially against Aaron Rodgers. If they're going to try this sort of quick rhythm precision passing game, I'd say DBs bite on every route. Let them run a double move if they want to. Dare them to run the double move. And if they're going to beat you with the double move, good for them. You can adjust after that. But don't give them the easy thing right off the snap. You know, the quick slant, the in route, the quick out route. As soon as that receiver makes his break, go for it. Because Rodgers wants to get rid of the ball quickly. He might have a decent amount of time to throw because of how the Bears' pass rush has struggled. And that's where this Bears defense is again in kind of a no-win here. Because if you blitz Aaron Rodgers, he's really experienced and good at identifying the blitz, knowing where it's coming from, knowing then where the deficiencies in coverage will be because you have fewer coverage defenders, and he can dice you up and often easily move the ball against the blitz. It's why when the Bears played Rodgers in week one, they sent an extra pass rusher exactly one time in that game. You also had Robert Quinn and Roquan Smith at the time, but still, the strategy has generally been don't blitz Aaron Rodgers. But the Bears don't have a consistent pass rush to not blitz Aaron Rodgers. He's going to have time to throw if you sit back there and just rush four. I would be inclined to do what's called a drop eight coverage. Rush three players and drop an extra person into coverage. A lot of drop eight coverages with that extra defender can make it a little bit slower for the quarterback to read because there's an extra player that he's not expecting. And that eighth defender can often step in an area where quick passes may tend to go. And that's something you can mix in more to try and disrupt a quarterback. But if you spend the whole game with a three-man rush, he's just going to sit in the pocket and wait for a receiver to get open. And when you have someone with the speed and size of Christian Watson, you're screwed. And don't forget, the Packers are also going to be running the ball fairly effectively. It's something they've done well in recent games when they decide they want to run. They haven't given it to their backs nearly as much as you would think, but both A.J. Dillon and Aaron Jones have been particularly effective and efficient rushers lately. So you can't just purely sit back in two deep coverages. You want to have some guys up in the box too, but you don't want to make it just single deep coverage all game and make it easy on Rodgers to figure out what you're doing on the back end. I think the Bears are going to need some kind of turnover luck. You know, it's a bad snap that Rodgers drops. It's a tipped pass that gets intercepted. It's a ball that a wide receiver drops and gets tipped and intercepted. It's a key penalty, a holding on third down that negates a first down, right? It's something extra that the Bears don't necessarily do themselves to give their defense an extra advantage here, because otherwise I think there's going to be some real problems defensively. They need guys to step up, and we'll look at a few of the candidates there on both sides of the ball that really need to win their one-on-one matchups in this game if the Bears are going to have a chance to win next on Locked On Bears. This episode is brought to you by Audible. Audible is releasing a slate of new football podcasts that I know you're going to love. Find Think Like a Champion now wherever you get your podcasts. Think Like a Champion is a brand new podcast from Russell Wilson and Audible. Russ is a champion on the field, but off of it, we rarely know the grind on the path to greatness. Hear two-time Super Bowl champion and MVP Von Miller deliver sharp insights about performing at your highest level in moments of extreme pressure, or NCAA champion Tim Tebow discuss how to find your unique personal mission in the world. Each episode features interviews with Olympic medalists, NFL stars, and business leaders. And the hosts will swap stories and share proven mental techniques that have gotten the world's most elite performers across the finish line and beyond. Head on over to Locked On Presents for a sneak peek of Think Like a Champion, or catch the full series, available anywhere you get your podcasts and available everywhere now. Audible. Get in the game. The Chicago Bears need somebody, multiple players really, to step up against the Green Bay Packers. And one guy in particular that I'm looking towards, he's a guy who stepped up the first time they played the Green Bay Packers, but has been particularly quiet ever since. Do you remember back in week two, Travis Gibson had two sacks on Aaron Rodgers? I checked. Those are his only two sacks. He has not sacked the quarterback again since that game. And he's been particularly quiet, non-existent over the last few weeks. He hasn't recorded a quarterback pressure by Pro Football Focus's standings since the Detroit Lions game. Last two games in a row have been zero pressures, zero hurries, zero hits, zero sacks. And he had one in the Lions game and one in the game before that. So in the last 4 weeks, two pressures, including zero in the last two games. It's time to step up. It's time to find that juice against the Green Bay Packers the same way he did in week two. A big hit on Aaron Rodgers can be the difference in a drive. You know, the big sack, especially if you can make a forced fumble out of it, or a ball gets batted up in the air as a result of it. You know, some kind of something for somebody to make a play. It's on Travis Gibson, and his matchup is going to be against the right tackle, Yosh Niemann. He's, you know, not the weak link by any means on this Green Bay Packers offensive line, but it's a matchup that Travis Gibson can win. Not going to win every time, but not a player that is necessarily going to just shut him down every single snap. But it's going to take Gibson to step up, because he's been shut down every single snap the last two games. You're also going to need Jalen Johnson to go into shutdown mode. I don't know if they're going to go as far as to have him shadow cover someone like Christian Watson all over the field, because frankly, Christian Watson is going to be faster than Jalen Johnson. He's going to be faster than every player in the Bears secondary. No one player is necessarily going to shut him down, But if Jalen Johnson can be physical with him at the line of scrimmage and not allow Watson to get into a full speed sprint across the field or down the field, you know, that physicality and that disruption of his route running process might be a way to slow him down a little bit, because he looks to be the most dynamic of the threats in the Packers offense, even if he's not yet their leading receiver just yet. Like, I don't want to overlook, you know, guys like Randall Cobb that have such a strong connection with Aaron Rodgers, or Alan Lazard, who I think is statistically still their leading receiver on the team. You can't ignore those guys, because Cobb especially is a guy that has that timing down with Aaron Rodgers out of the slot. And I'm expecting Jalen Jones to get that treatment in that matchup quite a bit. So it's imperative then that at the very least, Jalen Johnson shuts down whoever he's lined up against, and ideally a guy like Christian Watson, who's the big home run threat. The Bears need some home runs, or even a home run, from someone like Chase Claypool. We saw Trevor Siemian give him a shot a couple of times, a couple of 50-50 balls to let him go up and get against a guy like Sauce Gardner. And I think there's some opportunity in this game as well to get Claypool even more involved. With Darnell Mooney out of the mix, I think we're going to see more snaps for Chase Claypool, more snaps for Byron Pringle. Both will be very important in a game like this. I wonder if we'll see more N'Keal Harry as well, just given the snaps now available at the wide receiver position. But I want to see how Claypool does against Jaire Alexander. We've seen Packers defensive coordinator Joe Barry leave his receivers really far off coverage quite a bit in a way that's very frustrating for Green Bay Packers fans. He'll give you a lot of free yards off the line of scrimmage, which would be a better thing for Darnell Mooney to be more quick twitch on some of those shorter routes. So I'm wondering how Claypool will do vertically against that. They're asking you to go short when you give that off coverage. So if you try and go vertical with them, they're ready for it. And I want to see if Claypool can win another one of those or a couple more of those and have more than two catches in this game. Not that he needs to be a 10-catch, 100-yard game guy just yet. He's still learning the offense. I'm willing to continue to be patient with Chase Claypool, but let's see continued progress forward. Linear growth. Another step forward. Doesn't need to be the big step. Doesn't need to be the breakout game necessarily, but keep growing on what we've seen from him so far. And I'd love to see how that matchup goes with Jaire Alexander. I also think a lot of this Bears offense will flow through David Montgomery, but even matchup-wise, I wonder if getting him involved in the passing game more intentionally can't be a bigger ploy for this Bears offense. We saw Montgomery have a big catch and run last week from Trevor Siemian. We saw Darrington Evans have the same type of thing happen last week. And when you look at this Packers matchup, both of their linebackers, Quay Walker and Devondre Campbell, haven't been great this season, and they've both been two of the bigger sources of Green Bay's missed tackles. I think they've both missed 10 this season. The only one with more is the edge rusher Preston Smith, who I think has missed 12 on that Green Bay Packers defense. So how many times and how many different ways can you find to get David Montgomery the ball and make those guys tackle him? We've seen how difficult it is for most teams to tackle David Montgomery consistently. He doesn't go down on the first contact, or if he's going to go down on the first contact, he's going to get 2, 3, 4 extra yards after that first contact. And I think as much as you can feed that in the passing game, in addition to the running game in this matchup, there's an opportunity for that to bode well for this Bears offense. David's not the kind of rusher that's going to hit the hole and outrun everyone on the field for 70 yards in a touchdown. He could get some bigger plays, but it's not necessarily the home run threat, but it's those extra yards with those linebackers and the edge rusher as well, not being able to consistently bring him to the ground, that the Bears can find a lot of their offensive success in. Still, at the end of the day, with Justin Fields in the lineup, on the field, playing quarterback, maybe at some level of close to maybe kind of healthy, the Bears have a chance. I really think they do. It's going to be similar to some of the other back and forth high scoring Bears games that we've seen where it becomes, you know, 29-31 and maybe the Bears have the ball late with a chance to try and drive down and win, or the defense needs to make one more stop. And we've seen the Bears lose five games in a row, right? It's not that even when they've been able to score, it hasn't been victorious as a result. And I'm not ready to expect that all of a sudden against Green Bay, especially when we don't know how healthy Justin Fields will be and what level that will look like and how the lingering injury might affect his level of play. But whatever happens during the game on Sunday, you can be sure we're going to break it all down for you right here on the Locked On Bears podcast. So make sure you hit that subscribe button to keep up with all of our daily, in-depth Chicago Bears news and analysis. Thanks for making Locked On Bears your first listen today. If you're looking for your second listen, you want more in-depth analysis on the Bears' opponent this week, you can check out Locked On Packers with Peter Bukowski, or you can check out Locked On NFL for even more NFL league-wide football coverage here on the Locked On Podcast Network. We are your team every day. I hope you'll make Locked On Bears your podcast every day, because every day we always try and at least give you the opportunity to bear down.